Podmoth.
If you're easily offended, this show may not be for you.
But if you're into that weird fun sh**, you've come to the right place.
You've been warned.
Are you there?
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello! Welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
What just happened? The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast. And this is... Oh my God. And proud members of the Podmoth Network. And this is a full episode.
You know what's so funny is I actually noticed in my brain when I was editing the last episode that I, at the very beginning, I always laugh. And I'm like, is it because I'm sucking myself up? I'm like, maybe I'm trying
too hard.
But
I also try to do dumb things to see if I can throw you off.
And I was like, so the minisode and the episode
which
both.
Which is just now. And yeah. I fucked myself up.
I love it. I think it's great. So I'm like, the time I'm going to, I told myself, I'm not going to laugh. I'm going to be normal. And
then you look right at me and start laughing. So.
And you're just like,
So. Anywho, this is a full episode, like I said.
Yep. So we have a paranormal topic that we have found. It's going to be super fun. We have a theme.
Yeah.
Because Chris actually had this idea.
Yeah. Kids are going back to school. Teachers are going back into the classroom, which kind of sucks, but that's a whole different story. We won't talk about that because we actually wanted to do a kind of a fun episode here. So
he actually did that musical thing where he like swung his fist. Yes.
So you want to tell him what we're talking about?
Yeah. So since Chris was like, since back to school, why don't we talk about haunted schools?
Not haunted schools.
Paranormal.
Paranormal incidents at schools.
Or unexplained.
Because neither of mine are ghost related at all.
Okay. And both of mine are, but I wanted to make sure to find stuff that was weird or interesting. Mm-hmm. And I did. I found a couple of really cool stories. Yeah. So we wanted to lighten things up a little bit. Are yours going to be lightened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, I put my... I mean, they're both... Yeah. I mean, they're not like heavy like our last episode.
I really expected you to be like, and this is a story of 12 children who were murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. To tell a story of Freddy Krueger, you know. He's a child killer, so...
Oh, you're right. Duh. I literally stared at him like, what?
Anyhow. So, yes. Welcome back to school, kids.
Yeah. You're going to die. So, with that, should we do our drinks?
Sure.
You want to
go first? Oh, you're excited about yours?
Yes.
Should I go first then?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Oh, does yours suck like mine normally do?
Yes. Because
really?
I had a hard time with this one. I texted about it and I told you what my idea was. I was like,
that's a good idea.
What brings me back to like elementary school and kind of nostalgic for me?
Did you get a Capri Sun?
I almost did. But instead, this I used to drink a lot when I was a kid, and it's a strawberry milk.
I love Nesquik strawberry milk.
I used to get the one in the can with the pink rabbit that you'd actually mix in the milk, but this one's already pre-made. But yeah.
Oh, wow. You were too fancy. We would just get the generic syrup. That was disgusting.
Oh, we didn't get the syrup. We got the powder.
Oh, the powder was so good.
Yeah.
You could just eat it. Oh, I'm jealous of kids who could afford the powder.
So now we have strawberry. I have strawberry milk.
And now you get to unwrap it. Okay, so I actually did not pull a Cody. I did a Chris this time. And I went to the store, and I searched everywhere, and I found a perfect one because it is called A to Z.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it is an A to Z Pinot Noir from Oregon.
Pinot Noir?
Oh, what is that?
Noir.
Noir? Oh, because I'm thinking of like fiction. Because like
it's
noir.
It's French. It's French. Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is from Oregon. It's Oregon. So I thought that A to Z.
And it's a twist off. I don't need to get you a wine opener.
That was the selling point. I had this one and another one. And I was like, oh, I've got a twist off. I can do it.
Yeah. And I was very secretive to Cody this week, so he doesn't know a lot of what I'm doing today. So we'll get into history now.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So as we have all been through the pains and awkwardness of school.
Case in point.
When we were younger. I thought since we both wanted this episode to be a little more lighthearted than our last, and I didn't want to bore you with the history of education, I thought I would give you some true embarrassing stories that happened to other people in school.
Oh, I love it. And can I tell you something else embarrassing?
What?
Wine was like $22.
Not good.
Oh, it's awful.
Well, Pinot Noir is a little heavy, but yeah.
It's got a weird aftertaste too. Okay, so.
So the first story, this person says, I had a male teacher for my high school physics class. He had a habit of standing against a desk in the front row, which was crotch level. One day, he was leaning against my desk when my pencil slipped out of my hand and went barreling towards the edge of the desk. I quickly go to catch it just as the teacher slid in front of my desk. My knuckle grazed more than the desk. No eye contact was made, and we both pretended nothing happened. And this one is short but embarrassing. I was on the gymnastics team and had just finished my floor routine in a meet against our rival school. A girl on the other team, who was kind of a mean girl, came up to me when I was done and told me that my tampon string had been hanging out the side of my leotard.
Yeah. Oh, that poor girl.
How embarrassing.
You see, like, flapping as she does her backflips.
Oh, God. This next piece comes from Allison, who at the time it happened to her, she was in the fourth grade. She says, in fourth grade, my class made it to the championship kickball game.
Championship.
It was students against teachers and staff, with everyone else watching and cheering. I played kickball every day, so everyone was expecting me to win the game for them. I was finally up to kick, and I hit the ball as hard as I could. I ended up kicking the ball directly at my principal's face.
Oh, my God.
The impact not only gave her a bloody nose, but it knocked her out.
Shit.
People were screaming and running to get a first aid kit, and I didn't know what to do. So I ended up just sitting on the field and crying while the teachers tried to help the principal.
Oh, I was actually so hoping that she's like, so I ran the bases to win the game. Oh, okay. That poor thing.
This one, it's going to get very tough for me to get through because, you know, I still have a mind of elementary school.
Oh, God, this is good. Poop, I was about to say, this has farts and poop in it, doesn't it?
I was a little, fat little kid. I was 260 pounds my freshman year of high school. That year, it was required of us to take the physical fitness test in our gym class. You know, push-ups, sit-ups, running, and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah.
During the sit-up portion, someone would sit on your feet and you count when your elbows touched your knees or thighs. Mm-hmm. I was nervous.
Oh, no.
When I get nervous, I get gassy. I knew I was going to erupt, but this kid was already sitting on my legs. The whistle blew and off we went. I held in my gas with all my might as I went for the sit-ups. One, two, three, and then it began. Each fart was a bit louder than the last. I got more and more embarrassed as we went on. It became clear that everyone could hear. Sorry. Worst of all, every fart made me lose a little more control. They were getting louder and longer. This poor kid on my legs was dying. Clearly grossed out, he let me go to 10 before he screamed and let go. Everybody laughed. Scared fartless, I ran out of the gym and hid for the rest of the day.
Scared fartless.
I'm glad that he can write about this now.
Yeah.
I would die. Oh my God.
Well, I used to call them jumping jack farts, because that was whenever that happened to me, where I was in gym class and we were doing jumping jacks, and it was literally so yeah, I sympathize with you, kid.
And this one, just to go, goes to show how impressionable the kids can be. The writer says, my sister definitely caused some awkward moments in her second grade class. Over the summer, my sister, my mom, and my 14-year-old brother came over to hang out a lot. She brought over a paper that she said she had to do some summer reading and would be doing a small report on whatever book she chose during the first week of school. She brought the paper over maybe a week before school was set to start, and she asked me if I would help her with it. So I said, sure, but I don't have many books in the house. My sister came back with the only book in my house that had pictures, a nonfiction memoir from different members of Hitler Youth.
Oh, my God.
My mom told me it was okay as long as I dumbed down some of the reading material to her level. She wrote her report and all was good, or so we thought.
That does not sound good.
During my sister's second week of school, my mom called me around 11 a.m. one day and told me the school wanted to do a meeting with both of us. When my sister finished reading her report out loud, she told the whole class, quote, My sister read me this book. She loves Hitler. She also has a bunch of books on how to murder people. True crime. But she won't read those to me. It seems like it would be an awkward situation for any teacher.
Oh, my God.
And you thought your primary school years were embarrassing. And that was my fun history.
That is so fun.
Sorry it took me so long to get through the farting one.
That was so great. Such a good story, though. Scared fartless. That's going to be our new t-shirt. Oh, God. Okay. So we're getting into stories now. First, I am going to be talking about... we're going to the Philippines. Oh. And I like this because we're going to Manila because it's kind of an extension of our episode on the Filipino lore, which seriously, go listen to it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking about Ateneo de Manila University.
Okay.
All right. So Ateneo, I'm just going to call it Manila University for now because it's me. And yeah, I've already had 3 sips of wine, so I'm wasted. But it was one of the oldest.
Your white girl wasted.
White girl wasted. Wasted. And it was one of the oldest and one of the most popular universities in the Philippines. The main campus is in Quezon City, just beside the Katipunan Avenue. It just sank in and near Loyola Memorial Park and a cemetery. Poon. Now, from what I read... Oh, yeah. Okay, y'all. From what I read, this is not just a university. It's like a whole campus that has a grade school, high school, and university all in one campus. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I got so confused during my research because it would be like the university, blah, 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 blah. But then the next paragraph would be like the high school, blee, 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 or the elementary school, hee.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And so I would go back to the paragraph before and I was like, what is happening at this university? But it's like everything combined.
Yeah.
Now, this university is not only known for academic prestige and athletic prowess, but also for ghost stories within the campus. The school was actually built on land that was formerly a military camp during World War II. So you can imagine there's probably a lot of death and a lot of... And if that's not enough, there's a cemetery beneath it.
Yeah,
I'm like, why would you do this? So... There, I'm going to share just a few of the things that are said to happen there.
Do they not have horror movies in the Philippines?
I found one.
I'm like, you're not supposed to bury on top of a graveyard.
You do not build a school.
Build on top of a graveyard.
You do bury on top of a graveyard.
Under, technically.
Under. Oh, that's
6 feet under.
I'm burping. True. So I'm going to share a few of the stories there, along with a final one that is just for you. And the reason that I picked this story.
Is it any relation to the hipster school or whatever?
Demystifying the hipster. Yes, it is. No. So the grade school premises is the one nearest to the cemetery that's there.
Okay.
Now, though there are lots of stories about spirits roaming around the area, the most prominent one is about the ghost at the 6th grade staircases. A woman was said to have been hanged there, left in an awkward praying position.
Ooh.
So to see her... One has to go there at night and imitate the praying gesture of the lady. And then she's said to appear.
So you got to summon her by doing the same position she's in?
You got to get on your knees and pray. Yeah. So I was like, what if she was like masturbating when she died? Or she was flipping someone off? And you have to go and like flick the bean to like make her summon? I don't know. I wish that was the case. But I feel like that's super, like almost like a movie where you have to imitate her weird thing. Now, this next one's a bit different, and I really wanted to find more on it, and I just couldn't find a lot, but apparently, cryptids and mythical creatures are said to have been seen all over campus.
Really?
Yeah. And this goes back to your minisode. Dwarves, elves, and other mythical creatures are said to inhabit the prep, which is now the grade one premises, as well as what's called the David Hall Rock Garden. When children play there, they have to be polite so as not to be harmed by these paranormal beings. So they might actually see a dwarf over in the corner, and you have to be super nice or else it could attack you.
Ooh, I wonder if they see Mananangals.
Oh, yeah, from your episode. I would guess probably.
Would that be creepy?
And I wanted to find some stories, but they were just harder to come by. Now, the high school area is one of the more mythical places on campus.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there is a mango tree that is shrouded in mystery. It is said that lovers from Ateneo and Miriam, mm-hmm. it's two different places, profess their love here. And if it fails, they commit suicide together at the same spot under the tree.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet, or like Greek tragedy, you know?
It really is. And there was a lot about the tree that I discarded for my last story. Mm-hmm. So there's more about that if you want to research it. Now, the next thing is a weird one called Days with the Lord. In the high school, there was a spiritual activity called Days with the Lord in which juniors attend a three-day Christian retreat. Yeah. The basic objective is to enable the participant to live a religious experience and to realize more intimately the personal love of Christ. So every person who attends this gets what's called a badge. And I'm not sure what it is. I know. I was like, I think maybe it's like a swag bag or something that you get. I'm not 100% sure. But it is said that in every odd-numbered batch is a ghost. And one attendee actually said, I was batch 231, and indeed, there was a ghost at the chapel while one of us was praying. The ghost was wearing a red silk garb and looked angry. So I don't understand if it's you get your swag bag and a ghost just hops out of it.
That
or
is weird.
If you're assigned to maybe be in a batch of people. Like, you're batch 12, and you're with Johnny, Eric, and Susie or something. I don't know.
So if anybody out there from the Philippines or of the Filipino background, let us know what a batch is.
Yeah, that would be great. Tell us, or if you just happen to know. Okay, so now for the big one. This is one of the big pieces of lore around the university. Mm-hmm. This is, this is about a janitor on the campus. Here's a story. The janitor, who had just finished cleaning the bathrooms, was about to lock up the building when a security guard asked if he could go inside to urinate.
Okay.
The janitor agreed and let the guard in.
Of course.
Minutes later, when the guard emerged, the janitor double-checked the second-floor bathroom and was met with the sight of a lifetime. The tile walls and floors were covered in streaky handprints of human poo-poo.
Gross.
Of stinky. Of excrement.
No.
The janitor runs back down to confront the guard, of course, to be like, I just cleaned this shit. What are you doing?
Literally cleaned this shit.
I just cleaned this shit. Yeah. And the guard is completely clueless. So the janitor is needlessly
pissed. That's some explosive diarrhea.
Got on your hands and everything.
Ew, gross.
And stinky pinky. So the guard is like, fuck you, I didn't do this, bye.
Yeah.
But when the security guard turns to leave, the janitor was shocked to find another handprint clearly pressed on the back of the guard's white uniform
gross.
Where he couldn't reach.
No. Ew.
And that is the story of Mataneo de Manila University.
Nasty. And the guard couldn't smell that shit on him?
I don't know. It's so weird. And
it
I found
that is a weird story.
I found several variations of that story. Like, it's like the story.
Ew, gross.
Oh, goodness.
So, in researching schools and the paranormal, a large majority of the stories I found were about hauntings. Well, I have something here that isn't. My first story comes from Melbourne, Australia. On the morning of April 6, 1966, at approximately 11 a.m., students of what was known then as Westall High School were out for recess on what seemed like any ordinary day, until it wasn't.
Shit.
The students saw it first. Up in the sky, a number of them saw what they described as a disc, gray or silver in color with a purplish hue. That was about the size of two large cars and appeared to be about a quarter of a mile away. According to the observers, the, quote, round-humped object with a flat base hovered lower near the school only to disappear behind some nearby pine trees.
The UFO is like, hide behind these trees.
Yeah. After a few minutes of waiting, the UFO made another appearance further away, but this time being pursued by what some believed were five military aircraft.
Oh, shit. Really?
The UFO appeared to be going faster now, and in some descriptions was said to look like a small, bright streak of light. Finally, after about 20 minutes or so, it was said that the object and his pursuers disappeared altogether. Not knowing what else to do, some of the students ran out into the trees to see if they could find anything.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
They found that the grass had been flattened by what they assumed was the UFO, giving more clout to their story.
Hmm.
After all was said and done, it was said that about 300 people witnessed the incident.
Damn.
Yeah. You would think after so many people seeing the incident that the media would be all over it, right? Well, at the time of the incident, despite the number of witnesses, there was only a brief mention of the incident in a couple of periodicals. One of those papers, called The Age, claimed that the UFO was nothing more than a weather balloon and left it at that.
Yeah. That went and hid behind the pond and was fast enough to get chased down by jets.
Yep.
You just imagine this weather balloon with the little flame, like just shooting across the sky. Oh, God.
Of course, UFO researchers and journalists were all over the story, or at least they tried to be, but no matter how hard they tried, many of the witnesses from that day didn't want to speak to anyone.
Interesting.
It was reported that back at the school, both students and staff were told not to talk about what they had seen, which was supposedly enforced by imitating military personnel. That being said, even if witnesses had wanted to talk, school authorities said that they would fire staff or expel students if they talked about it, kind of just sweeping the whole incident under the rug.
Oh, wow, that's wild.
Yeah. As all good legends go, with more than 50 years since the incident has occurred, the story has grown with some witnesses coming forward. Of these witnesses, some have corroborated the story of the military pursuing the craft as well as the flattened grass where they believe it landed. Others have said that they had seen male officials dressed in blue uniforms examining the same area. One witness called Andrew Greenwood, a teacher at Westall High School at the time, was interviewed. The interview just came to light around 2016 and can be found on YouTube, actually.
Oh, so this is new.
I don't know if the interview is new, but it like an audio, the audio came out.
Because he's probably dead, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, it depends how old he was at the time. Yeah. You know? I don't know. Anyways, it can be found on YouTube, but that recording just further mystified people that are obsessed with the case, you know?
Do you know why?
That's what I'm getting into.
Oh,
now.
Is it really? Oh, okay, good, good, good. I'm so invested in this.
In that interview, Mr. Greenwood said that the UFO was brought to his attention by a hysterical child that had run into his class telling him that there was a flying saucer outside. After the child's persistence, he finally went outside to see what the fuss was all about. According to him, he said it was the most amazing flying that he had ever seen as he witnessed the aircraft approach the UFO without colliding. He said that every time that the aircraft would get closer to the UFO, it would start to go slowly, a little bit faster, then quickly, then stop altogether.
Damn, this weather balloon is crazy.
Aside from the weather balloon theory, it has been said it also could have been a high-altitude balloon, which is used to test for radiation in the air.
Hmm.
There have been theories that were simply that there was simply military testing going on in the area, but there was no records of any such testing going on that day at that time.
Wow.
Another theory is that this was some kind of just experimental aircraft. Despite all the theories and the extensive research that has gone into figuring out what happened that day at Westall High School, this fascinating mystery has yet to be solved. And there you have it, the Westall High School incident of 1966. Yet another mystery we may never have the answers to.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, 300 people. Which, again, 50 years later, that could have been exaggerated. But,
yeah, sure. But
yeah,
definitely a number of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Oh, I need to go look at more about that. Okay, that's super cool. That's super cool.
It's said that we die two deaths. The first after we exhale our last breath. And the second, the last time someone speaks our name. I'm Alicia, host of Dead On, a true crime podcast. Together, we'll honor the victims of violent crime, investigate what makes criminals tick, and shed light on long-forgotten cases. Come on this journey with me. Dead On is streaming now, everywhere you love to listen.
Speaking of super cool,
yay.
I saved my by best far last. Best story for last. Okay. This is so crazy, and just the number of shit that happened at this place, and of all places, it's in Texas, in El Paso, and I'm going to be talking about El Paso High School. You know, there were hauntings of places around, but I have never once heard of a place that has the number of reported shit. And some of it's true. There's some true things that have happened here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. Okay. Yay. So what does it take to be called one of the most haunted high schools in the United States? It would take more than just your average cold spots and strange noises to earn that coveted title.
Yeah.
Perhaps with some truly twisted and dark tales that boggle the mind and defy explanation. It would take a building with a uniquely imposing visage. It would take dead bodies. Oh, I don't even want to save this right here. I want to save that right there. But tales of ghosts wandering the halls. Now, it seems unlikely that one place could have all this, but just north of the border in the city of El Paso, one high school exists.
Yeah.
In the heart of El Paso High School, the unbelievable is to be believed. and the dead are every bit as restless as the living.
Well, I mean, El Paso's a border town, so there's a lot of violence and stuff that happens on both sides of that border there, you know, so I can just imagine
that is true.
Haunted that area is.
And there's, and y'all actually talk a little bit about some of the death that happens there. So open for students in 1916, El Paso High School has always been undeniably beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a little bit imposing, actually. It's really crazy if you read about, it was made like with marble and like hardwood. It's like a beautiful school.
Yeah.
Nicknamed the Lady on the Hill for the position on a mountainside overlooking the city, it bears a really stunning silhouette that has made it basically a landmark from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things, and this comes into play, is that that's very infamous about it, is its basement. The school has this weird, massive, maze-like basement, and it's just wild. Mm-hmm. Now, on November 17th, 1980, it officially became a registered historical landmark, which I thought was really cool, and it is fucking chock full of the paranormal. And I'm going to share just a few things about El Paso High School. I want to visit this place.
Yeah.
Though encounters with the paranormal and the odd go almost as far back as the school itself,
mm-hmm.
one particular bit of its history that cannot be ignored was its time working as an overflow morgue during the World Wars.
Yeah.
The school's immense and labyrinthine basement temporarily held bodies that were shipped into El Paso in the wake of the Spanish flu outbreak and
what?
Combat deaths from World War II until the next of kin can be informed.
That's insane.
Yeah, so they just kept dead bodies in this massive maze-like basement.
Yeah.
And also think about the Spanish flu, which is like the pandemic now, which is like, wear your fucking mask. Now, this is also true. It has sealed off classrooms
mm-hmm.
that were closed very suddenly and mysteriously. So once again, we're going to take you to the basement. And y'all, I want to see this basement because what the fuck? Now, I'm going to actually share a story from Toby Tobar, who was a mathematics teacher at the school. And he actually shared his own story about what happened. He said, about 15 years ago, it snowed in El Paso to the point where schools were closed.
Mm-hmm.
A few teachers and students had arrived before the closure announcement. Those teachers and students who had been able to make it to the school were not allowed to leave due to the unsafe road conditions.
Okay.
Having nothing else to do, a group of students and teachers decided to just explore the school for fun, starting with the tunnels in the basement. At one point, several of the teachers crawled through a small opening, eventually coming to a brick wall that just blocked the tunnel. The bricks were old and the cement between them was crumbling, but it was clear that these bricks had been added long after the surrounding brickwork. Curious, one of the teachers pushed on the newer bricks until something gave way, revealing a large dark cavity.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's ass.
No, bitch, please.
Pushing a flashlight through the hole, they discovered... pushing a flashlight through Chris's hole.
Gross.
They discovered a sealed-off classroom. The room was small and contained antique desks of the type seen in Little House on the Prairie. So this is like in the 90s. And they find a class from like the 30s.
The little, I was like, oh, never mind. I was, you answered the question there. I was,
oh, what?
I was going to say Little House on the Prairie didn't take place in the 90s.
Oh, no. No, this was way back. I don't even know exactly when. But it said that there was no doubt that the classroom dated from the original construction of the building. But here's the surprising thing.
Uh-huh.
All the desks were all there in place. All the texts, student notebooks, all their bags, everything was still sitting in the classroom right there.
Like a mysterious disappearance of all these people?
Or for some reason they had to flee for some reason. And I don't know. That's the thing is, you could be right or I don't know what it was.
Do we have a Roanoke situation here in El Paso?
Doesn't it seem like Roa Paso? They said that there were even Baby Ruth candy bar wrappers on the floor from that time period with the price tag of 5 cents.
So Sloth was there?
Oh,
Goonies.
Oh my God.
Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth. He was there.
Yes.
And there were also, they found just discarded Coke bottles. So it literally, this room had to be evacuated for some reason and sealed off very quickly. They also found a sealed off second classroom nearby that was exactly the same. Only now everything was just dusty and silence.
Weird.
They never actually said, it was unexplained as to why these were ever closed off.
Did Or can they confirm if those people were found or anything like that?
I need to do some more research on it to see what happened with these classrooms.
See if there's any witnesses or anything from those classes.
True, to see. Yeah, or anything that came about, because it's definitely super strange that they come across that. There's also a ghost girl who committed suicide. And at every high school or even hospital, there's that story of the poor person who, you know, throws herself to her death. Yeah. And this story is exactly that. It was basically a cheerleader who was with the school's most popular jock. He dumped her before their senior prom. But because of that, she committed suicide from the school's fourth floor bathroom. Now, since then, more than one person has reported seeing a girl standing in the balcony and occasionally leaping to her doom. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes it really creepy is that there have been so many sightings that they actually sealed off the stairway leading up to the haunted hallway. So many people reported seeing something that the school was like, well, we're just going to seal off some more shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, like, you can't go there. Now, the final one, and I'm going to share pictures of this, and this is the craziest one, I'm calling the photograph.
Okay.
A trophy case just inside the original front entrance of this grand old school contains a photo of the 1985 graduating class. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in the photo shows up clear and distinct. But there is one young lady whose features are just a little bit faint and fuzzy, but she's clearly there. Mm-hmm. The figure in the picture is at the end of a row primarily of teachers. There are two young ladies nearby who are looking intently toward where this girl is standing.
Wow.
Now, there's a question about why, but I say all this because everyone in the photo claims that the girl was not present when the photo was taken. In fact, nobody can identify her. They say that she is not a student at the school, and to this day, nobody knows who she is. Now, get this. The girl does not even appear in the negatives that they have.
Weird.
And this was taken before, you know, like Photoshop software existed, so it was an actual picture. Now, the class photo still resides in a trophy case at the school, maybe because they're leaving it for someone to maybe recognize her. But yeah. I will definitely be taking pictures. I think Chris is looking it up.
Yeah, I want to see if I can
You have to see it. Yeah, because it is, it's crazy. It's crazy. And you can see that it's something where it looks like there's clearly someone there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But she's not quite there.
That is so weird.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And nobody knows who she is. And because I was expecting a story of,
she looks like the girl from The Ring.
She really does. Because she's wearing all white and all that. Yeah, she's... It's creepy. And that is the story of El Paso High School.
Wow. Well, for my second story, I bring us a throwback to our mass hysteria episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is an incident that was reported in 2016, alleged to have happened in...
In Malaysia?
Yeah. In three Malaysian schools.
Oh, cool.
So in April of that year, it was reported that around 100 students and staff at a Malaysian school were said to have been part of a case of mass hysteria. Those affected were said to be possessed and disturbed by spirits. Prior to the possession, each of those people claimed to have seen spirits or had supernatural experiences. The school itself is located in Kelantan, a place known for being highly traditional and religious. So when this all started, a small group of students claimed to see a black figure hanging around the school.
Okay.
Other students and teachers started to make the same claims as well. Some said they saw a pocong, known as a shroud ghost in Malaysian culture. Others said they saw a Pontianak, who also in Malaysian culture is the vengeful ghost of a pregnant woman who either died in childbirth or at the hands of a man.
Oh, shit.
According to the local news, one teacher said she felt a heavy presence that clung to her. Another person claimed that the black figure that had been lurking at the school tried to enter her body.
Whoa.
One student said that he felt numbness in his hands and that his mind was all over the place. One student was quoted as saying, quote, "The specter was so ugly that I went into fits and felt paralyzed, like I was being pinned down by an unseen force."
Oh my God, what the fuck is happening?
And the best quote yet.
Oh,
quote,
no.
"The experience had so shaken me that every time I go to the toilet, I bring a friend along. Otherwise, I avoid going to the toilets." As a result of these possessions, or this case of mass hysteria, the school shut down.
Wow.
Then they called in Islamic holy men to read the Quran and pray. Okay, sidetrack here. Can you imagine that instead of having like a snow day or something, you get like an exorcism day, you know? I'm sorry we're closed, but we're currently exorcizing demons from the school, you know?
Every day you check the calendar for another possession day.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. Whenever you said the figure clung onto her,
yeah.
I first thought that you said clunked her. Like, oh, clunk!
Like in the head.
Like in the head. Knocked and I was like, wait, out. What's going on?
That's funny. Yeah, but I digress a little bit there. So anyways, it was said that these cases of mass hysteria did not just happen in this school, but it was in a sense passed on to two other schools that were within around a 3-mile radius.
Damn.
Yeah. According to a sociologist who has researched mass hysteria in Malaysia, he said that this incident was a textbook outbreak. You see, Malaysia is no stranger to cases of mass hysteria. In the 1970s, there was a number of reported cases of mass hysteria outbreaks at factories across Malaysia and other parts of Southeast Asia. One researcher has stated that in Malaysia, cases of mass hysteria are quite common in rural areas of the country and that outbreaks tend to happen in all-female boarding schools as they are the strictest.
Oh, interesting. Kind of like the nuns.
Yeah. And there is another case in 1987 in which 36 Muslim girls who were staying at a Malaysian hostel were also said to have spirit possession. Those affected were said to shout, run, have mental confusion, cry, move bizarrely, and go into trances. This specific case was said to have lasted for 5 years. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said when I read that. Yeah.
5 years?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
And according to one researcher, he says that these cases come in waves. And at the time of the incident that I'm talking about, he said he believed that they're in the middle of one such wave.
Ah.
So back at the school, it was closed on a Thursday and reopened on a Sunday with, like I said, religious teachers and Islamic medical practitioners observing the school. Like some type of like holy standby, you know, in case
right?
something happens. It is reported by journalists that upon reopening the school at 11 a.m., they began to hear screaming and shouting coming from the school.
Ooh.
Journalists were not allowed to enter the school, but the principal stated that the Islamic medical practitioners have been called in to recover the situation. They added that this was the first incident of its kind since the school opened in 2001. There was a check-in with the school the following day in which it was said the students had gathered to recite religious script. The deputy education director stated that the school should be left alone to sort out the problem. And there you have a bizarre case of mass hysteria.
Wow.
In Malaysia.
Okay, my debunk meter's going off that like kids who want to continue having more days off
keep on doing shit
to be like, yeah.
Get out of tests, you know. Start. That makes sense.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Great stories.
Yeah.
That was awesome. All right. So now believer skeptic.
Yeah.
Okay. So for debunk, first I'm going to talk about this poopy handprint story.
Yeah.
Because let's assume that I was a security guard that was actually going to do this, you know, because maybe I'm pissed off at the janitor because he slept with my husband. I'm mad at him. What I would do, because they're talking about this mystery handprint, what you do is you first thing you do, so it's clean,
uh-huh.
you take off your shirt. Do poopy poops, and then handprint on the shirt.
Ew, no.
And then you put it back on, and then you continue doing your shit. And that way, that whenever you show the handprint, it looks like it's a mystery ghost.
Gross.
So I have that. I have that all taken care of.
Just check under the fingernails.
Good question. That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So the next thing is, I've talked about ghosts a lot of times before, mm-hmm. but I found a study that I've never shared before. On why we see ghosts. And so I wanted to share
cool.
it real quick. Yeah. So I didn't know this, but nearly half of Americans think that ghosts are real.
I was like, damn,
that's like a ton. But then according, the person apparently likes vampires who shared this because they said blood-sucking vampires scored a measly 13%. But still, 13% of people believe in vampires.
I believe in emotional and vampires.
Have you watched What We Do in the Shadows?
No, because I want to see the movie first.
Oh,
remember?
This is an emotional vampire.
Oh.
Yeah. So that preconception of the ghost primes our minds to run wild whenever we hear a creaky floorboard or feel a sudden chill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris French, head of the Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths University,
yes.
nailed it, of London, as well as a self-described wet blanket skeptic, says... Believers are a lot more likely to report anomalous sensations, and they're also more likely to conclude that those sensations indicate a ghostly presence, mm-hmm. which I've talked about.
Yeah.
We have such a tendency because the human mind is highly suggestible,
yes.
right? We've evolved to take cues from the outside world to escape threats, mm-hmm. like an animal chasing us or a ghost or whatever. And so, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
But what I didn't know is that in the 1990s, psychologists at the University of Illinois gave the same tour of the century-old and long-closed Lincoln Square. So they went to Lincoln Square Theater, you mm-hmm. know, where he was shot. They gave the tour to two groups of people, okay? They told only one group that they were investigating a haunting.
Okay.
So one group, hey, we're going to look at the haunting. The other group is, hey, we're just going to do a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, the visitors who were informed of the, you know, the hauntings were far, far, far more likely to report intense emotions and strange occurrences,
okay.
which I thought was really interesting. So this mental quirk is so powerful that it can deceive us in real time, right? There's another study on here, but it's kind of the same thing, so I'm just going to skip over that, but just say that I think that's a really cool study to show that how susceptible to suggestibles.
Yeah,
that we are, and that is my debunk.
Interesting. So my two stories are on very different ends of the spectrum. If you know there was a spectrum of paranormal events, that is.
That's true.
Regarding the Westall incident, I do believe that all these witnesses saw something, but what it was is still a mystery to all of us, including me. What gives me more belief is the fact that not only school officials, but government personnel tried to shush everyone and keep it hush for a long time.
Very true.
I mean, it was the 1960s and there was no social media, so there is that. But yes, there was some government involvement, but what the spacecraft itself was, they probably don't know. And if they don't know, we might not ever know.
Yeah, true.
Regarding the case of mass hysteria in Malaysia, I don't believe it was possession, but I do believe there may be some explanation as to why it happened. According to the same researcher I mentioned earlier, he says that Malay people are susceptible to mass hysteria because of their belief in many spirits. In doing some research, the Malay people have great belief in ghosts, or as they call them, hantu, as well as spirits. This belief has had so much influence from both Hindu-Buddhist cosmology as well as Muslim belief. As it applies to the boarding school, girls in the case that I spoke about today, the same researcher says that the girls are, quote, reluctant to attend such schools where overcrowding is rife and privacy non-existent. Frustration and anger build over weeks or months. Eventually, a single student becomes possessed and is kind of like a seed or catalyst for the unfolding drama.
Yeah, you know? And we talked about a lot like this in our mass hysteria episode, so yeah. That's really interesting to hear it tie back.
Yeah, so to put it simply, these are teenagers who are acting out and rebelling, scaring others with the beliefs they've known all their lives, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I think it is, and there you have it. I would be, though, one last thing, I would be very interested to kind of see a timeline of cases of mass hysteria in Malaysia through the years, you know?
That would be cool. That'd yeah. be really cool.
Yeah. So there you
all
have
right.
it.
Wow, that was so fun. What a like a
such fun.
A welcome respite from the heaviness.
Well, we're not done.
Oh yeah, we have Creep of the Week.
We still have Creep of the Week.
Okay.
So this Creep of the Week comes from Heather, one of our listeners.
Hi Heather.
It was lengthy, which is not a bad thing, but I just for time's sake I did cut it in half. So you will hear the first part now and then you'll have to wait 2 weeks to hear the second part.
Yeah, gonna have a cliffhanger.
Yeah. She says, my family and I moved to, I should have looked up how to say this, Tegucigalpa, Honduras, in the summer of 2014.
Oh my God, that sounded amazing.
Into a house owned by the U.S. Embassy. My husband is a foreign service officer with the U.S. State Department.
Cool.
I would quickly learn that we were not the only occupants. One morning while unpacking out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little boy walk into the kitchen. Assuming it was our youngest child, I turned to face him while saying, what's up, sweetie? I startled when instead of my dark-haired, dark-eyed youngest, I saw a small, blonde, blue-eyed boy who, after a split second, disappeared.
Oh, damn.
I stood there clutching some random kitchen item, thinking to myself, what the fuck just happened?
I want to know what she was clinging.
I didn't see the boy again, but both I and my daughter, Ashleen, sensed that he was around. The thing about Ashleen is that children love her. Her patience, creativity, and joyful spirit always draw them to her. On several occasions, she felt someone, we think the little boy, in her room. He would make himself known to her in various ways. Once, while in the shower, she heard soft singing coming from her room.
Whoa.
Once she was sitting on her bed and someone plucked a string on her bass guitar. Once she heard someone softly say her name.
Ooh.
Little things like this would happen every now and again, and she just kind of got used to it. She got the sense that the little boy was lonely and just wanted to hang out with her. And because she is pretty much the kindest person on this planet, she obliged. Once later, again in the kitchen, I turned around to see an elderly woman standing by our island a few feet from me. She's quite tiny and appeared to be Latina. And just like the little boy, she disappeared as quickly as she had come. Nobody in our house felt threatened by either of these presences, and I never saw or sensed the elderly woman again. Whatever the fuck was occupying our first floor, however, was a different story.
Oh.
The front door of the house opened onto a foyer and the stairs that led to the main living area. But there was a side entrance that led to the ground floor where there were big closets and two rooms. The embassy used one of the rooms for storage since they owned the house and the other room was empty. There was also a stairway off the kitchen that led to the ground floor. Aside from the initial few days when we moved in, when I was rushing to put things we didn't need on a daily basis into the closets, and I entered that space via the side entrance and not the stairs from the kitchen. That's an important detail, and you'll see why in a second. I never went down there until I decided to turn the empty room into our guest room. Oh, boy.
Oh, and that's the end?
And that's where I leave you.
Oh, that's so good.
Cliffhanger for the next.
I was so ready.
Next part, yeah.
Damn.
That's a good fucking story.
Well, it's really cool to get like, here are the nice spirits, and then now it gets fucked up.
Yeah. So
cool. Thank you, Heather, for sharing.
Yeah, that's a cool story. So thank you, everyone, for listening, as usual. If you do have any stories, please do send them in. You can reach us at bspodphx@gmail.com. You can find us on all your podcatchers. And you can find us by Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at bspodphx. And reminder, voting is still open for the Paranormal Podcast Awards. So go out and vote for us. Voting does close on September 30th, and the link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, good job. And then my books, The Gay Teen's Guide to Defeating a Siren, as always, are available. They take place at a school.
Oh, yeah.
So it ties into our episode.
Yep.
So give those a look-see if you're interested. And I think that's everything, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Welcome back to school.
Yeah. Have fun going back.
Yeah.
And seeing the ghosts and the aliens in the sealed-off classrooms.
Yep. So, well, with that, I guess.
I'll let you sign us off.
Well, thank you again.
Yay!
And with that,
bye!
See you again next time.